Battle Drugs. We hope you enjoy this song. Put y'all hands together.
Shalom, 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 man. This is the Najat Hepzibah, Basotho Brotherhood, the Rugrat Way, that's the Credit Hepzibah, and Goshen Guard Security Forces. We come to you today live with an episode of From the Desk of the Najat, that's the Credit Hepzibah, the podcast where we discuss all the pertinent information to Israel and the righteous all around the world. Today, we're going to be discussing Pakistan and their new prime minister. We're going to be discussing China compared to what we're doing, what Disney's doing right now in the United States, and how Florida's reacting to that. We're going to be discussing India as a nuclear power and as a friend of Russia. We're going to be discussing the new sides that are going to be at play very soon in this Russian-Ukrainian conflict. We're going to discuss Russia using tactical nukes, all right? And we're going to discuss many, many, many more things. One of the most I got put in my heart to discuss. Once again, this is That's the Credit Hepzibah from the desk of the Najat, and we'll be right back. Hey man, this is a old school Najat exclusive. I want y'all to hear this right here. I'll give you about 30 seconds of it. We'll be right back.
Jesus, you're dead my enemies when they try to knock me down. They try to ruin my life, y'all, but my Jesus stopped by. Pick me up, turn me around. He steps in right on time. I'm so glad he changed my life. That's why I can testify. I'm so glad he brought me out. Pick me up and turn me around. Touch my feet, touch my soul. I know God is in control. I'm so glad he brought me out. Pick me up and turn me around. Touch my feet and touch my soul. I know God is in control. I know my God is in control. He guides me every step of the way. My God is King of Kings, and he leads me every day. My God is my provider. He gives me everything I need. My God serves every purpose that we could ever, ever need. When David and his armies fled from the Philistines, God said, turn back and fight for my kingdom today. Because he said, I'm in control. You don't have to worry another day. Turn around and fight my battle, and I'll lead you every step of the way. Because I'm in control. I'm in control.
See, some of y'all don't understand the purpose behind this song. We do this to hear God to pray. And if you listening to this song right now, you ought to lose.
Shalom, 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 man. Hey, if y'all want to hear the rest of that single, man, hit me up on Instagram. Listen, I might even drop it. I might drop it. Hey, if I get 10 DMs on Instagram asking for that song right there, man, I might drop the whole song, man. I might even drop the whole, we made a whole, like, 4-song EP, man. I might drop the whole thing, you know what I'm saying? I ain't much of no rapper, but I was having fun, man, at the time, and my spirit was burning so hot, I was doing everything, man. I was street preaching, I was making music, I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, teaching different people on campus, man. We was really trying to do everything we could for the Most High God, man, and, Your fire should always burn that hot for the Most High God, man. You should never let that fire dwindle out. Regardless if you're doing the same things, if you learn better how to focus your energy, that's one thing. But that fire, you know, it should never subside. And I done failed at that myself a couple times, man. Let that fire subside a little bit. But you got to pick it back up whatever way you know how. But, man, hey, shalom, man. It's morning right now when I'm recording this. I'm going to be dropping it this afternoon, the same afternoon. We ain't waiting, man. I'm trying to get back to doing this thing at least once a week, maybe twice a week. Hopefully we can get up to the point where, you know, I can study enough news every day to bring you one every single day, man. Because I know, listen, I watch the news myself, man, and I do understand that when you're dealing with the news, man, sometimes it's hard to get the real information. You know, sometimes the information is so cloudy. Like, I remember when the Ukraine and Russia situation first started, man, I was, at first, you know, you watching the news and they actually talking about military actions that Russia or Ukraine is taking. Hey, Russia's advancing in this part of Ukraine. Hey, we see Russian tanks rolling in here. Hey, we see planes taking off in Belarus. Hey, we see this many troops in the Donbas regions. Hey, we see this many troops in Mariupol. Hey, they're attacking Kharkiv or they're attacking Kiev or whatever they're attacking. And, you know, you fine with that. Then, on down the line, man, I guess their viewership go down because most people don't really care about that stuff. They want the hit topics, and they realize that even though they already ain't got no viewers, all right? So people want to see the hit topics. So then they start talking about, oh, this is the worst humanitarian crisis since this and that, forgetting that the United States bombed Syria for years. We bombed Somalia. We've bombed Nigeria. We've helped the Saudis bomb Yemen into obliteration. Yemen is almost no more, all right? And some people say those are some of the Israelites down there in Yemen, and that's why Saudi Arabia is doing them so bad, because they're trying to put them under their subjection. You know, they say they're kind of, for lack of a better term, the mixed breed Israelites, just for lack of a better term, not in a derogatory sense. But yeah, it's hard sometimes to find proper news, man. They forget that all the things that the United States do. Or they won't report on all the things in the United States, but they won't report on the United States bombing hospitals in Syria with kids in them. You know, they won't report on these things, but they'll say, oh, this is the worst humanitarian crisis in the history of the world, simply because it's the Ukraine, simply because, really, they just want to go against Russia, man. They want to go against Russia and go against the East because they know the East will cause the downfall of the West, all right? Or at least the beginnings of the downfall of the West, right? We all know that the power is going to be returned to the East, not the East in the sense of Russia and China, but the power is going to be returned to the East in the sense of either Italy or Greece, more than likely Italy, especially the way Italy is looking right now politically, man. Well, it kind of depends on their next elections. Their next elections, they're going to kind of make a decision on which way they're going to go. Greece already made a decision, but they're just not powerful enough right now to hold that seat unless they really want to invest a lot of money in Greece. That's also why they bankrupted Greece a few years ago, if you can remember. Because they wanted Greece to have to go under their control. They wanted Greece to have to do what the IMF wanted them to do. That's why they bankrupted them a couple years ago. So if you see now, they're actually a lot closer. Yep, the Greek government debt crisis. It was the aftermath of the financial crisis of 2007-2008. And it lasted until about 2017. So Greece defaulted on most of their debts for the IMF, and that's how the IMF kind of took control of Greece. And they got Greece going the way they want to go. But what happens in that situation is exactly the reason we're going to talk about what China's doing later. Once the IMF put their policies in place, and they're in place even for a couple of years, it creates a society of what you would call sissy men, soft men. And at that point, it's kind of hard to take control of anything. It's one thing when you're a nation like Rome, and you are already so strong and so powerful, and then they take you down to that level, then you can kind of, you're still powerful, right? They're still in your culture to just be powerful and be strong. But when they begin the culture with that so-called sissy men, not even so-called, sissy men, and I could use some different words, but I'm not. I'm going to use the words that the news story used to keep everything clean. When you build a culture around sissy men, that culture is not a military culture, right? That can be your cultural capital, but you still have to find a military capital. And that's what they've been doing for years, right, with the U.S. The U.S. has just been Sparta, military, straight military, strong man. Hey, listen, this is the military, and we can still run the culture from wherever else we want to run it from, and the United States can just be that military. Now they're starting to turn the United States into that cultural hub because of the way our systems work, man. It's kind of it's almost mob rule at this point in the U.S., right, to a certain extent, if they could get it the way they want to get it. The only thing stopping them now is that it's actually states in the U.S. It's a federal system. All right, I'm going to get into the news in 1 second, but I just want to explain to you the state of the world because I haven't been on here in a while, right? The U.S., along with only a couple more countries in the world, Russia, India, Australia, they have what you call kind of a federal system. In a couple more countries, I'm not naming them all, it's a couple more, it's not many of them, actually, though. And what that federal system does is, you know how the U.S. has states, and states have certain rights, right? How you see now, we're going to go over again what Florida's doing, kind of to counteract the federal government. States have rights in the United States. They're limiting those rights more and more every day, but states do have rights inside the United States. So it impedes the federal government from just being able to do whatever they want to do at any given time, right? It puts them in a place where, okay, they do at least have to follow some kind of checks and balances, and that's the only thing stopping the U.S. from becoming a real cesspool of problems, right? You have certain states. That's why I always tell you, man, get to Goshen. You got to get down here to the southeast, or even if you want to get up to the Midwest for a while. Only problem with that is they got that volcano up there. If any country really want to take the U.S., they're going to nuke that volcano in Yellowstone. And along with the deprivation from the nuke, and it's going to cause that volcano to explode, and the deprivation that's going to come from that, you know, the dark winter that's going to, the couple of dark winters that's going to come from that. And when I say dark winter, I mean elongated winter, winter that's going to last 4 or 5 years. That's going to cause the end of the U.S. But the reason I say get to Goshen is, one, you're by the coast, right? You can get away quickly. I mean, when I say Goshen, I mean the southeast. I mean Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, South Carolina, Florida, really. All right, you can kind of stick Georgia in there, but you got to be careful. I would wait until these elections this year, because if Stacey Abrams wins, Georgia is going to turn into the California of the South, and it already darn near is with Atlanta over there. But it's going to turn into the California, New York of the South. Well, North Carolina's kind of turned into the New York of the South. Watch their politics as well, because they're a decent place, but you got to watch their politics. North Carolina and Georgia, you got to watch the politics. But South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, even though Tennessee's not on the coast, it's close enough to a coast, and even Louisiana. All right, Louisiana isn't the greatest one, but it's not a bad one. All right, they're not going to – they may go for more of the COVID stuff than these other states will, but they still won't go for the, you know, the trans your kids and all these other things that you will have to deal with in other states. But the federal system is one thing stopping that from coming to the entirety of the United States, and the world powers still need a Sparta. So they're trying to develop that Sparta now, and they don't know who it's going to be. That's the only problem they're having right now, right? They're kind of leaning towards the French being the Sparta, but we've seen the French, they can go to war, and maybe that's all they need, right? The French can go to war and win a war long enough, but eventually somebody else is going to rise, and I think they already know the Israelites are going to rise anyway. So they may say, well, the French can get the job done for the time being, and then we'll be able to go into whatever we need to go into and get everything done that we need to get done in that time, and we can make Greece the cultural hub, or Rome the cultural hub. They still got some work to do in Rome and Italy, but they don't have as much work to do in Greece. But Italy's military is closer to the point where their military can kind of dominate some things. But let's get back to the topics I said we were going to discuss on the podcast today. You know how the Naja be, man. You know how I be. I get on my rants, I get on my tyrants, man, but I let the Most High God lead me where he want me to go when I'm doing these things. But we're going to get back into it, man. Listen, the first thing that we're going to discuss today, we're going to discuss what everybody want to hear, right? We're going to discuss Russia and what's going on right now in Ukraine. We're going to get that out the way first, even though if I was, you know, worldly trying to make you listen to the whole thing, and I still hope you listen to the whole thing, I'll put it at the end. We're going to put it first because I know that's what everybody want to hear, and you might have some time constraints, right? So I'm going to explain it to you first, then we're going to go over a couple of news articles, okay? So what's happening in Russia, what's happening in Ukraine right now? All right, is that Russia has lightened their attacks on Kiev. Now, I think the attacks on Kiev were always meant to be temporary. I think Russia's not hitting all their objectives, but they're hitting most of their objectives. I don't think they meant to actually invade Kiev. They didn't mean to ever actually take it over. What they meant to do was to... One, they did want to kill Zelensky. I'm 100% sure on that. They wanted to kill Zelensky, and they wanted to put a little fear in the people. They achieved one of those goals, right? They got a little fear in the actual people of Ukraine. Not the military. The military is still standing strong because they think the West is still going to help them with a lot of arms, which the West is helping with a lot of arms. That just means they think. But they wanted to put a little fear into the people. All right? The main city right now that Russia has to get is Mariupol. All right? So, 1 second. So Mariupol is a coastal city in Ukraine, and it's in the general area. 1 second. All right, yeah. It's a coastal city in the eastern part of Ukraine. All right, so Russia already took Crimea. What I believe Russia's going to try to do is they're going to try to take Kharkiv, they're going to take Donetsk, they're going to take Luhansk, they're going to take Mariupol, and they're going to maintain Crimea. All right, and they're going to get them a piece of this river right here. They're going to go over a little bit more and pretty much go straight up from, from Crimea that they already possess. It's kind of the peninsula down towards the bottom. I wish, I'm going to get the technology eventually. I'm going to start going live on Instagram once I do a reboot, and I'm going to get the technology to be able to show you all these maps. All right, but if you know, just Google. All right, while you're sitting here listening to the podcast, it's companion. From now on, when you listen to the podcast, man, make sure you have Google Maps out as a companion. But they're going to go up from Crimea, man. They're going to take Donetsk. They're going to take Luhansk. They're going to take Mariupol. They're going to take Kharkiv. All right, and they're pretty much going to stop. They're going to take a little bit more land. It's something called Poltava and Dnipro. And they're probably going to take those cities as well. They're going to stop a little east of actually Kiev. And that's about where they're going to stop for now. Once they get control of all that territory, I think that's their goal now, right? To get control of that territory. Why? Because, one, they already have Crimea. The problem after they took Crimea in 2014 is Crimea does not have a supply of fresh water in there. All right, so Russia either has to fly that fresh water in to Crimea. They can kind of take it over land, but it's a long route to take it over land. When Ukraine was in control of Crimea, they had a river dammed, and they funneled that water back down towards Crimea. But since Russia took it, they blew up that, they dammed that river. Sorry, it was a river that flew into it, and they dammed the river after Russia took it over. All right, Russia actually blew up that dam in the first days of the war, so they're getting water right now, but they're going to take the area where that dam was built to ensure that they always have a clean supply of water. All right, but Russia's moving into the Donetsk and Luhansk. I don't know if you remember, in the beginning days of the war, I did a video on YouTube. You can go back and watch it. I mean, not YouTube, sorry, Instagram Live. You can go back and watch it where I talk about Donetsk and Luhansk. These are areas in Ukraine that Russia recognized as nations, all right, in the days leading up to the war. And I said, I'm not going to lie, I was wrong. I said Russia will probably won't invade all of Ukraine. Russia will invade the eastern part of Ukraine, Donetsk and Luhansk, take control of those. Because that's, I ain't going to lie to you, that's Vladimir Putin's normal MO, right? I'm just going to be honest. He normally goes into certain places in certain countries. You hear about now the Chechenian fighters that he has. Chechnya was one of those places that he kind of went in, just took that place, and didn't really continue a full-scale war. He did the same thing in Georgia. Went in, took the land that he wanted, and then pulled back out. And I think he'll end up doing the same thing in Ukraine still, even though he tried to go in the whole Ukraine. I don't necessarily think that was God's plan for it now, all right, because I don't think God quite wants to start up this war yet. So I think he's going to take the eastern part of Ukraine, get Kharkiv, Dnipro, Poltava, remaining Crimea, get Mariupol, get all that land over there on that side, man. And I think that he'll probably stop for a while. All right, he'll stop for a while, which is a problem. That's why he doesn't really want to stop, because if he stops, then nations are going to say, okay, well, the rest of Ukraine that's left, we're going to arm them to the teeth, and it's going to create a bigger war. All right, that means Russia's going to have to go find friends as well. Try to find friends in Bulgaria, Romania, Moldova, see if they can get some of the Nordic countries to be a little bit more friendly towards them, because they're going to need, and they're going to have to arm Belarus to the teeth, because they're going to need friends as well in this territory. But Russia is, that's what they're doing right now. They've refocused their attack on the eastern part of Ukraine, the Donetsk and the Luhansk regions. But the war continues, man. We're going to get to a couple news stories right here. Ukraine pushes back on numerous Russian advances in Donbass. Zelensky warns Mariupol situation is severe. So they always say that they're repelling Russian advances. I don't think so. I think Russia has a slow and steady wins the race, especially in the eastern part of Ukraine. All right, why? Because I said this and I'll say it again. They're not looking to fight a war of attrition. All right, they're not looking to fight a war where the people just get tired and tired and they end up hating the people who occupy them. They're fighting a war to combine states, so they have to fight a war in a certain way. They have to figure out who's friendly and who's not. All right, and they have to take out the non-friendlies, have to leave the friendlies alone. If it was as simple as them trying to occupy a nation, I guarantee you the war would be over, because they would have used what's called a blitzkrieg. All right, they would have sent their planes and just bombed the hell out of Ukraine until Ukraine said, never mind, I'm good. I don't even really want to fight. They would have bombed Ukraine. But they had enough planes to do it. They got enough bombs to do it. They could have pretty much bombed Ukraine into oblivion. They could have bombed Ukraine to the point where Ukraine just gave up and said, okay, cool, y'all come in and do what y'all want. They didn't want to do that because they don't want to change the hearts of the people. Until they see who are the people whose heart won't change anyway. That's why now they bomb Kiev so much. That's why now they're getting ready to bomb Mariupol, because they said, hey, listen, we're going to give you 72 hours. Put down your arms, surrender. All right, all the people who are pro-Russian in the area, I want you to flee to the east. All right, we have places set up for you in the east. Flea will give you 72 hours. If you don't leave in that 72 hours, we're gonna kick it up a notch a minute. We're going to end this situation tomorrow because we're tired of fighting. All right? And it also says the eastern city of Kremina has fallen to Russian forces, the regional governor said, making it the first city to be captured in this phase of the war. So Russia is now fighting in the east of Ukraine, man, and they're going to continue fighting that area. They're not going to stop. All right? They're definitely going to take Donetsk, Luhansk. They're going to take Mariupol. They're going to take that whole eastern front of Ukraine. One, because they are kind of following the U.S. policy. But the reason they're following the U.S. policy is a little different. All right. What they know is that if Ukraine gets the technology to pump the oil out of the ground that's in Ukraine, it's going to cause a downfall of their nation. All right. So I don't even think they want to drill the oil in Ukraine, but they do want to take the eastern part of Ukraine that's very rich in oil and natural gas because it's going to cause Russian oil and natural gas to plummet in cost. Also, I want to put this in perspective. The Russian ruble should have dropped, should have a prediction to drop by 50%. All right, it's only going to drop by 8.5% this year. That's the projection. I don't even know if it'll drop by that much, but the projection is 8.5%. That means Russia's weathering this storm pretty well. They've also nationalized, so say IKEA. IKEA was one of the companies that said they're going to stop production in Russia, right? So they just left the factory. Russia broke back into the factory. They hired the people that had been working there, know how to work the equipment, and they began making furniture in that IKEA factory. All right, so they're nationalizing these companies that just left and walked out. You think it's actually hurting them, right? It didn't. They just nationalized the companies. So now instead of the companies paying taxes, all the profits go to Russia, straight to Russia, all the profits. And they're making the same things, and now they're just making them for Russian citizens. Russia is reverting back to a pre-global economy type of economy where, hey, we can make everything we need and we'll sell you what we want to sell you, but we don't have to import things. All right, same thing Donald Trump was trying to do in the U.S. because he see the way that the world is going. The world for a while, all right, until that so-called beast, until that fake Messiah comes. All right, the world is going to go back to I have to fend for myself because their global economy is going to be shut down by a world war. All right, so states, countries have to get back to the point where they can fend for themselves. They can, and it's we as a nation, we as a people, we as the Israelites and the righteous cleaving unto us, we have to create a nation where we can sustain ourselves. Right, we have to build a nation where we can. And once again, I'll say this: if Donetsk and Luhansk can make even a deal with Russia, all right, that they made, why cannot we make a deal with a nation the same way? Why can't we say, hey, we're going to take this piece of this nation, all right? And we just need you to sign off on it, all right? We just need you to make it look legitimate, and we need a little military support until our military get built up, all right? That should be a simple deal for us to make. That's a lawful deal for us to make because it's not as if it was Israel. It was unlawful for us when we were actually taking the land of Israel, when we had became a nation and became an army, to make leagues with these nations because he wanted us to drive them out. This wouldn't be a situation where he wants to drive anyone out. This would be a situation where we're just creating a place for us, all right, until it's time for us to go home. So why can't we go to the Virgin Islands and say, hey, listen, we want St. Croix. We'll pay you for St. Croix over time, all right? All we need from you is to declare independence from the United States and to respect us as the rightful heirs of St. Croix. Why can't we do that? Why can't we take the little island that's off the coast of Puerto Rico, I forget the name, and tell Puerto Rico, hey, declare independence from the United States government, and we're going to take this little piece of this little island right off your coast right here, and eventually you can end up taking. Because that's the cool thing about the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico is Judah and Ephraim, right, if you believe the 12 tribes chart. But it's Judah and Ephraim right there beside each other. You know, the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. So it's pretty cool. The two kingdoms, or the kingdoms that's now connected, but the former two kingdoms. But we're going to go on to the next news story right here, guys, all right? Even if Russia uses a nuke, we probably won't know, but Putin will still pay dearly. All right? So listen, Russia in Ukraine would not use the nukes, what you know as a nuke. They would not use a nuke like what we used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. Those are not the nukes that we use. They would use these things that got made after World War II in about the 1980s, they developed these things called tactical nuclear weapons. All right, so what tactical nuclear weapons do is they detonate in a certain area. So their blast radius is only meant to be about 20 miles. Right, it's not meant to be 500 miles like a nuke. It's meant to be about a 20-mile, 10-mile blast radius, depending on the weapon, maybe even a 5-mile blast radius. What this does is it contaminates the water. All right, it irritates the skins of the troop fighting in the area. All right, and it causes sickness. All right, so it's kind of like almost a biological weapon, give or take. Right? And also, it's just like a big bomb still. It's still going to kill a lot of people as well if you drop it in the right area. And it's going to contaminate all the food supply, all the water supply. So then you send your troops in with hazmat suits on, and they can pretty much walk in and take what they want. All right? Those are the kind of nukes that Russia will use. That's why they're saying we won't even know if Russia uses the nuke, because it won't set off alarms. All right? And it doesn't even have to be carried by ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile. All right? It doesn't have to be carried by one of those, because it's not going that long of a range. It's not meant to shoot. Nukes go up into the atmosphere and then they come back down. These can be shot just like regular missiles and boom, detonate. All right, so they won't set off the alarms. They also won't set off the nuclear waste alarms because it's not huge. It's not a huge amount, so it's hard for any nuclear waste alarm. And even in Western Europe right there, they're still their friends, even in, let's say, France, to catch it, because it's not that much nuclear waste coming out of there. All right, but those nukes will still do a lot of damage to the water supply, a lot of damage to the people, and it would almost end the war. Why? Because eventually you got to get to the point where, all right, even if Zelensky, you know, the Ukrainian president, speaking of that, the Ukrainian president who used to be a TV star, who's bowing down to the world powers, even if he wanted to continue fighting, a lot of troops would say, hey, listen, it's not worth my family losing their water. Some of them will still fight, right? You have some people that's going to fight to the death, but a lot of troops are going to say, hey, it's... All right, we've already allowed our families to be destroyed. I don't know if I'm going to allow my families to be under threat of being killed every day for this. All right, so it's going to cause a lot of lapse of morale. But once again, Russia's not fighting a war of attrition. All right, they're fighting a war to combine two peoples. All right, so they're going to use that as the last resort anyway. That's not going to be their first resort. It's not going to be to move and to use tactical nukes, but they will, all right, if they deem it necessary. If you got any more questions about Russia and Ukraine, I'm going to start doing a Q&A every like Tuesday night. So I'm going to come on. I'm going to take questions. I'm going to answer. I'm going to give you a quick version of the best ones. I'm going to write them down and I'm going to discuss them on this podcast. All right. Next thing we're going to talk about is Pakistan. So Pakistan and India are weird situations. Let me tell you why. So Pakistan and India are small nuclear powers. So they're countries whose GDP is smaller than the average company that has a average country that has a nuke, but they have nuclear weapons. The reason why Pakistan and India have nuclear weapons is a region called Kashmir that's between Pakistan and India. Pakistan and India used to be one country. All right, it was separated by the British. All right, so Pakistan, majority Muslim; India, majority Hindu. All right, Kashmir region is half and half. All right, it's kind of split down the middle. It's a little bit more majority Muslim. All right, so they've been fighting up that area for years and years and years. It's called the Kashmir region. All right, that's the reason why both of them have nukes, because that is actually, people want to say Russia and Ukraine have been a hot spot for a while, but the hottest spot is Kashmir. Why? Because India and Pakistan are nuclear powers, and they've always been at war with each other since the beginning of the nations. They've, since India existed and since Pakistan existed in their current form, they've always been at war because neither one of them ever necessarily agreed on the land they were given. All right, so they've always kind of been at war. They've always been in kind of a perpetual state of war. So it's the biggest hotspot in the world right now for nuclear warfare. All right, and what Pakistan has just did was they ousted their prime minister, Imran Khan. All right, now Imran Khan is what you call, he's like the Ayatollah in Iran, right? He ruled Pakistan under a Sharia law to a certain extent. He ruled Pakistan under Sharia law. Now, I'm not a big fan of the guy. All right? If you go look on my Instagram, it's actually a post on there. One of Pakistan's provinces was one that had a plan to go around door-to-door and vaccinate people. So I'm not a fan of the guy. What I will tell you about the guy is that he's a strong man for his people. Right? His people wanted to live a certain way, and he made sure his people lived that certain way. What I think now is one of two things. Either he went too far, all right, and the people started to dislike him, and they started telling their representatives they dislike him, or... All right, the powers that be wanted him out of there because he doesn't do exactly what they want. All right, with that being said, the reason it is important is that we don't know who this new guy is. The new prime minister is Shehbaz Sharif. All right, he is the leader of the Pakistani Muslim League, so he's a strong Muslim as well. He's 70 years old, but we don't know how he feels about that Kashmir region. That Kashmir region can be another catch point. Now, it won't start World War III. Explicitly. All right, it'll start World War III the same way Russia and Ukraine starts World War III. As you see, Russia and Ukraine, it's impossible for countries not to pick a side. All right, yeah, we got all these non-aligned movements, this or that, but your actions is going to tell you what side you're picking. China's actions, when they abstained from votes to condemn Russia, right, when they still buy Russian gas, India, when they still buy Russian gas, Pakistan under Khan, when they still were buying Russian gas, Belarus, allowing Russian troops to be staged there. Trying to think any more countries that went on Russia's side. A lot of the countries in Africa that abstained from the votes, you pick a side, whether you actually have to explicitly pick that side or whether you pick that side just by your actions. All right, you have to pick a side. All right, that brings me back, once again, say the mark of the beast is dual fold. One, right hand in your forehead, your actions and your thoughts, your actions and your ways, your policies. All right, and also, you know, we know the chip is coming. All right, but anyways, all right, you have to pick a side. That's the same thing that happened in the India-Pakistani war. Everyone has to pick a side. China's going to have to pick a side, and they'll probably start with Pakistan because they're not friends with India, because India is trying to take China's place in the world right now as that cheap manufacturing hub with a huge population. All right, but China has to pick a side. Russia has to pick a side. U.S. And the West have to pick a side. Australia have to pick a side. They'll probably pick the side of India because they're against China. You know, everyone has to pick a side, so it could be another catch point. All right. On top of that, Pakistan is going to have to get the support of the Muslim world, which is going to make the Christian world have to support India, which even isn't even Christian, it's Hindu. All right. But that's just kind of how that goes. So everyone has to pick a side, and it's a very volatile region. All right. Prime Minister Modi is a Hindu for sure. All right. The same way you would say Bishop Nathaniel or Vayuasi or Elder Rakarshiar of GOCC or whoever your preferred, you know, online leader is, or, you know, whoever you want to say, man, you know, whoever you want to say is a Israelite of Israelites. All right, that man is a Hindu of Hindus. He is putting Hindu policies into law in India. All right, so he's another thing. He's the same way. This is how you see it at the end of the days. The Bible said it will be nation against nation, tribe against tribe. Right, people that believe in what they believe in, they're gonna stand stronger on that than they ever have. All right, so you have to watch out for things like that. You have to make sure that you understand that the world is coming to that. And it's a lot of flashpoints in the world that can turn into World War III very quickly. It's a lot of them, right? Don't let anybody convince you that, oh, it's not coming. It's coming. All right, and once again, I always say it takes 20 years for wars to ramp up. Don't think because you look up in 10 years and the world's not over that the war isn't well into swing. It's in swing already, and it won't. You cannot put this genie back in the bottle. Once a country like Russia decides it can invade Ukraine and the rest of the world sees nothing happen, what do you think China's going to do with Taiwan? What do you think India and Pakistan's eventually going to do with Kashmir? What do you think Serbia's going to do with Kosovo? And they're already on the side of Russia. Serbia is. All right. So what do you think they're going to do with Kosovo, which is an enclave inside of them that declared itself independent? Eventually, they're going to take that back. All right. Countries around the world are going to decide that, hey, countries around the world are going to decide that, hey, we can do whatever we want to do. Right? We can make it work how we want to make it work. Right? We can take what we want to take. And once again, I say, because that U.S. hegemony is over, there's nothing to stop the rest of the world from doing what they want. The thing that kept the world at peace, and I hate to say it, but it's the truth. The thing that kept the rest of the world at peace for so long was that the U.S. was so powerful. All right, the U.S. could say, hey, do this, and the rest of the countries were going to oblige because they did not want to go to war with the U.S. because the U.S. whooped ass for a long time. That's what the U.S. did. The U.S. came into World War I, it was over after they came into it. The U.S. came into World War II, it was over after they came into it. Now, post that, the U.S. just did a lot of damage. All right, but countries outlasted us even past those, right? Korea didn't win that war, it was a draw. Vietnam lost. L. Vietnam end up being won by the Viet Cong. Now, we did pull out. We pulled out because we couldn't garner support for it anymore. It was over. There's nothing else we could do. The U.S. could do. All right? All right, but Vietnam was a complete L. All right, at least in Korea, you got half of the country. Vietnam was a complete L. And we couldn't even prop up a government. Same thing happened in Iran. We took Iran for a while. If people don't remember, man, we put a puppet government in place in Iran, and that led to the rise of Supreme Leader Khamenei's predecessor, right? And the Supreme Leader Khamenei was one of the ones who actually was a part of bombing the U.S. embassy, right? And then when his predecessor died, he came to power. The U.S. preceded all that by having their own, what was it called, the Sheikh of Iran, in power. Hold on, let me find the dude's name. Hold on. Here we go. The 1953 Iranian coup d'etat. All right. It was the overthrow of the democratically elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh in favor of strengthening the monarchical rule of Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. He was just known as the Shah. All right. It was orchestrated by the United States under the name, I'm just going to spell it out because I don't know how to pronounce it, TPJAX Project or Operation Ajax, in the United Kingdom under the name Operation Boot. All right. The clergy also played a considerable role. All right. So they put this man in place. All right. And he just couldn't hold power. All right. Eventually, it led to the rise of Khomeini. All right. So here we go. We're going to read the end of it. Ayatollah, all right, he ended up being overthrown by Ayatollah Abal Gashim. Hold on. Let me get information for you right, man. I'm sorry. Should have had all this ready, but I didn't necessarily think I was going here. Ruhollah Khomeini, all right. He was the first supreme leader, all right. And now we have Ayatollah Khomeini, right, which is the second leader of Iran, but he also was one of the people who perpetrated that hostage situation that they had at the U.S. Embassy in Iran. All right, so the U.S. overthrew that government and just couldn't maintain power. The U.S. has done a lot of things since World War II that just didn't work. Right, they just completely didn't work, and the United States failed. The same thing in Afghanistan, failure. Right, Afghanistan is one of the weakest nations on the face of the earth, and you see the Taliban took back over very quickly. Iraq is under control. They attack Syria. Syria is under control. They cannot control things like they used to be able to. All right, and if you can't see that, you're blinded. If you still think the U.S. is as powerful as it used to be, you're blinded. All right, pay attention to the way the world is going. The U.S. hegemony is over, and that's causing the rest of the world, i.e. Russia, China, Serbia, whoever, to say, you know what, we're going to take what we want. We're going to do what we want. Because the United States can no longer tell us not to, and we don't think no, and we're going to fight with the rest of the nations. They might be equal to us. They definitely ain't stronger than us. And the same thing about the U.S. At this point, they probably, the U.S. is weaker than them. All right, because we're teaching our military about inclusiveness and diversity while they're teaching their military how to kill a man with their bare hands. You see what I'm saying? We're teaching our children about inclusiveness and diversity while they're teaching their children about advanced mathematics, you know. We're falling far behind, right? We're feeding our kids McDonald's while they're making their kids soldiers. China literally builds soldiers from youth. You know, they build Olympians from youth, and we got a McDonald's on every block. All right, so that's what we got to think about, man. That's the point we got to get to, man. We understand these things, and we see these things as what they are. All right, we see the United States is falling, and the rest of these countries are taking it as a sign of, okay, listen, it's time to fight it out. Same thing that happened in Libya, all right? We killed Muammar Gaddafi in India, who was a strong man for his people, and it created a power vacuum in India. Now you got ISIS, you got the so-called UN-backed government in Tripoli, and you got General Haftar still fighting in Libya to this day, and it is the wild, wild west. All right, there is no control there. Go to Libya if you want to, all right, and see what happened to you. It's no telling what may happen. The same thing in Somalia right now. The reason the situation in Somalia is so bad is because of U.S. interference. They don't broadcast it as much because they don't really want you to know. All right, same thing I tell people when they're going to say, oh, we're going to move to Africa, we're going to move to Africa. Pay attention to where you move in Africa, because the U.S. has a lot of influence. Ghana, where everybody like to go, U.S. has some of the most influence in the world. Nigeria, U.S. has a good amount of influence. They lost some when they tried to get Nigeria to legalize gay marriage, and they wouldn't, and it kind of messed up the relationship with Nigeria. But Ghana had one of the best relationships in Africa. Ghana is going to be the next South Africa, mark my words, all right? Unless the Ashantis do a lot, right, unless they really wield their power and they kind of convince the people to start voting and doing these things, all right, Ghana's going to be a problem. The U.S. is already financing a military base to be built there that's going to house some U.S. troops. Very few, so many, if you will, so-called few, that on paper is few. I'm doing air quotes in the air right here. On paper is few because they don't want to have to call it a U.S. military base. All right, they only want to have one of those in Eritrea. They only want to have one in Africa. All right. But just pay attention to where you're moving. Right, because the U.S. can have some power there too. All right, But we're going to move on to the next topic, man. The next topic that we have up after the India-Pakistan situation. Oh, we're also going to say this. India soaks up every major Russian oil variety as flows persist. All right, so India is buying all the Russian oil they can because they're getting it cheaper. They don't care. India knows this. What India knows is, hey, listen, we almost untouchable. Right, every nation in the world want to be our friend because we got nukes and we can produce a lot of good. So if they do have to sour the relationship with China, they don't have to sour the relationship with us. So we can kind of do what we want. And the U.S. is still want to help us out. The U.S. is still do a lot of business with us because they don't want to sour their relationship in case they have to sour the relationship with China. And they view China as more powerful than India. So it makes them say, okay, listen, I would rather sour a relationship with China, right? Reserve that option because we can control India to a certain extent, but I don't think India thinks they can be controlled. India is buying all the Russian oil they can, so you see what side they choosing. All right. Or at least you see that they're not picking the side of the West, and it shows you even more that the Western hegemony is done. All right, Pakistan, China, still buying Russian oil. Serbia, still buying Russian oil. Hell, France, Germany, still buying Russian oil. What does that tell you? Russia has a lot more cards to play in this war than the West necessarily does because Russians already live a bit of an isolated lifestyle. They can make everything they need within Russia. They don't eat, They ain't so big on seasoned food. You know, they can eat rice patties for a while. They can flee back into Serbia when they had to, and they lived off of almost nothing in the icy plains of Western Russia. All right, so Russia doesn't need that much, but India is still buying their oil, which is still keeping money flowing because India doesn't have sanctions. All right, so India can bring in as much laundering money, pretty much. All right, India is getting gas. India is bringing the money in from other countries, and then they're buying the gas. And this is the kicker: they're going straight from ruble to rupee. They're skipping the World Bank. They're skipping the SWIFT system. All right, they're skipping the stage where you have to go from ruble to USD and then USD to ruble. Nope, they're going straight from ruby to ruble, straight from Indian. Currency to Russian currency. That's the kicker. The United States tried to weaponize that SWIFT system, and the world is now getting off of that SWIFT system. Crazy world we're living in right now, guys, and you can't even see it. That's the bigger story than Russia and Ukraine. The bigger story is that SWIFT system is falling, and that's the only thing that keeps the U.S. in power is that SWIFT system, and it's falling down by the day, brick by brick. Right, the world is falling. Why? Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. When the heathens rage against each other, they cannot stand. And that's what they're doing right now. All right, we're going on to the next one, man. Let's go, let's go, let's go. All right, now this is a situation that's going on right now in Florida. All right, I'm going to explain the Florida situation first, and then we'll get into what's going on in China. So in Florida, Florida passed a bill. If you're going to see in the news, the Don't Say Gay bill, it's actually called the Florida Parental Rights and Education Bill. So what it pretty much says is children in fourth grade and under, you can't talk about sex with them. You can't talk about sex. You can't talk about sexual orientation. You can't talk about none of that. That's up to them and their parents, which is the perfect thing to do. I know as Israelites, we don't even really want to put our kids in public school. Some of us won't have a choice, and that's why you have to pay attention to what state you're living in. All right, because if you live in a state like Florida, at least they cannot tell your kids they're transgender while they're at school. All right, so the Florida Parental Rights and Education Bill prohibits you from talking about sex, right, with children in fourth grade. Can't do it, all right? Because they did this, Disney, who we all know has turned into a, and if you actually look up Walt Disney, wasn't a horrible, how should I say this? Wasn't a good guy, wasn't a weirdo, right? He wasn't a weirdo, I'll put it like that. He wasn't a good guy, but he wasn't a weirdo, right? But his heirs have figured out, okay, listen, we have to be with this part of the world in order to get money. So they went on the weird side. As you see, Disney has a lot of gay movie characters. You see the Proud Family came back out with some gay characters on there. You know, just went really weird with it. All right. So what Disney decided to do was like, we're gonna do something about it. They put it out in the news. We're gonna do something about this Florida law because we operate in Florida, and they perceived they had the power because they donated to politicians. What they didn't realize was that Florida is now a hot spot for these things. All right, so even if you donate to Republican politicians in Florida, they're not going to lose their seat by voting against this parental education and parental rights and education bill. Right, because they know if they vote against it, it's going to lose them their power completely. So they'd rather lose your little donation, or even if it's a big donation, they'd rather lose it than completely just lose power. Then they lose all donations. They lose all the power that they've worked so hard to achieve. Even if they're not doing it for the right reasons, they're doing it for power reasons, because Florida now is a hotbed for these type of topics. All right, so Florida then responded by saying, listen, Disney, and I'm explaining the situation, Disney, you know, Disney theme park in Florida pretty much operates as its own city. One, because we all know it's pedophiles acting there. They're taking kids there and they're doing bad things to them in front of that park. They're doing demonic rituals. So they convinced Florida back in the day, 1960s, they got their own police department, their own fire department, on everything. They're pretty much their own city and they have to pay very limited taxes. All right. And that's been in effect since the 1960s. All right. Florida is now saying they're going to revoke all those special privileges. All right, they're gonna have to get inspected by the fire marshal in the county in which they reside. The police are gonna have rights to come in there whenever they want from the county and the city they reside in. All right, they're gonna have to pass all inspections like everyone else. All right, and the city's gonna have full control and they're gonna have full tax liability to the state of Florida. All right, which has a 0% income tax but not on businesses. All right, and they're not happy about this at all. All right. They're not happy about this at all. Disney is kind of backtracking, right? They've already stopped talking about the parental rights education bill. They let that go. But Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, isn't letting it go, man. And he's going to remove all those special privileges from Disney. Hey, and that's why, once again, you have to pay attention even in Babylon to where you're living, because it's going to make a big difference as to how your children are going to be raised and what your children are going to be raised around. You can call them as much as you want. They still going to have to go outside, right? Still got to go outside. And so you want to be careful as to where you're living. All right, if you're raising your kids in California, you're going to end up having some problems on your hand. You're raising your kids in New York, you're going to have some problems on your hand. Chicago, you're going to have some problems on your hand. Most of Atlanta, you're going to have some problems on your hand. You need to get somewhere where it's not that bad. Even Miami and Florida, you probably have a couple problems on your hand, but it's a little better. Same way Atlanta's a little better than Los Angeles, you know what I'm saying? But you still have your problems. All right? Now listen, Charlie Cora, the child of Roy P. Disney and Sherry Disney, publicly came out as transgender following the company's lukewarm response to the Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay bill, officially called the Parental Rights and Education Bill. All right, so Disney Air. This is going to be the next leader of this multi. And people don't realize this, man. Hey, Disney owns ESPN, you know, Disney Plus, all the Marvel movies. This is all Disney. Hold on. And let me get you the official. Let me just read off some of these brands to you, man. Let me just read off some of these brands to you real quick. So you'll know, you'll understand what I mean when I say Disney is difficult to deal with. All right, so they got Disney. ABC is owned by Disney. ESPN Networks, ESPN.com, ABC News, ABC Family. All right, Disney Channel, Disney Junior, Disney XD, Hulu, and A&E Networks are all owned by Disney. All right, as well as the Disney Parks and Resorts, Disneyland and Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line. All right, you got Walt Disney Motion Pictures, Marvel Studios, Walt Disney Animation Studios, Lucasfilms, Pixar Animation, Touchstone. All right, and then they also own Disney on Ice, Walt Disney Records, Hollywood Records, Disney Music Publishing. All right, you got Disney.com, Maker Studios, and the Disney Licensing Division. All this is owned by Disney, and the air has now just completely came out and said, hey, listen, I'm transgender. All right, I'm transgender. And what do you think is going to happen when she takes over? It's going to be even worse than it is now. Disney executive with two queer children wants to make more gay leads. President of Disney General Entertainment Content, which is pretty much a president of who is providing the things that your kids is watching on Disney Plus and on Disney Channel. She decides all of that. She has the final say. Children are transgender and pansexual. She said her children are transgender and pansexual while calling for more gay leads. All right, in Disney movies. There should be no sexuality at all pushed to children. And if it is, it should be heterosexual activities. That should stop pretty much kissing. Shouldn't go no further than that. A peck on the lips is as far as it should go in children's entertainment, and that should always be heterosexual. But this lady is calling for more gay leads in children's movies. Why? Because her children are transgender and pansexual. Her children are also going to be put in preferential positions. See, it's bigger than black and white. is weirdos making their children weirdos, and those children are going to have preferential places in society because of who their parents were. All right, that's why DeSantis calls on legislature to kill Disney's special self-governing status. A 1967 Florida law created a special district that allows Disney to self-govern, including taxes and providing emergency services. All right. The company is now allowed to act as a type of local government. He's asking lawmakers to consider eliminating a special taxing district that allows this. All right. The Reedy Creek Improvement District in the Orlando area shields Disney from local government regulations and from local property taxes, which could be worth as much as $200 million per year by one lawmaker estimate, but Disney also could have as much as $1 billion in liabilities that could get transferred to the taxpayers if the district is dissolved. Legislators in both chambers predict the legislation, which could end the 55-year-old taxing district next summer, would pass by Friday. All right, it's Wednesday. They acknowledge it was an effort to exact revenge on Disney for its opposition to the law DeSantis signed last month that prohibits classroom instruction around LGBTQ issues. The prospect of the legislator taking such a direct shot at Disney, the state's largest private employer and traditionally one of the most powerful political players in the Florida capital, was unthinkable until the DeSantis area. This is a governor who is willing to buck your traditional elite establishment in corporate America. All right, Florida House Speaker Chris Brown said, and maybe that's the difference in politics over the last 20 years, but I think we're starting to live in this really unique time. What he's saying is, hey, he does not mind going against the elites because he ain't a pedophile and he don't like little kids. So guess what? He ain't with the pedophiles that like little kids. He's willing to go against them. Why? He has a whole state backing him. You notice back a little while ago, man, DeSantis actually passed a bill that said, hey, listen. DeSantis passed a bill that said, hey, listen, we're going to start a Florida National Guard that's only under the direction of me. It's not the National Guard. It's a Florida, what is it called? Hold on. Find that too. Sorry. We're going to be done with this in just 1 second. I'm going to go over an hour. I didn't mean to go over an hour, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to get everything out. We need to get out. DeSantis proposed a new civilian military force in Florida that he would control. Ron DeSantis wants to reestablish a World War II ever civilian military force that he, not the Pentagon, would control. All right? That's the type of things that he's trying to do, because he's saying, hey, listen, I'm not with all the crazy stuff y'all got going on, and I got a whole state behind me. I got a whole state behind me, so I'm not really tripping. All right? You can try it if you want to, but pay attention to what's going to happen if you try. All right? Because I do not care, and I don't think these people in Florida, I don't think you can control them. And listen, this is the thing, right? If you do it too late, you're in trouble, right? So, what's his name in Georgia? Forget the Georgia governor's name because I don't live there for so long. Dang, what is his name?
It's 9 o'clock.
Brian Kemp trying to do the same thing in Georgia right now, but it may be too little too late because he already has so many people in power. In powerful places that can sway the elections in one way or another. That's the beauty of what Ron DeSantis did. He did it in such a way that he was kind of quiet at first. He won, and then he was kind of quiet, and he got everybody in place, right? He put his people on the elections commission, right? He brought in the companies he wanted to supply the machines for the elections, right? He put in these things that block Zuckerbucks, and he put all these safety blocks in place that said, hey, now, they said, hey, now I can go really strong into it, all right? Now I can really go head first into doing what I really wanted to do, all right? That's the same thing a lot of these other southern states are going to start doing, and that's why I say, once again, the United States is going to balkanize, all right? California, New York, Washington, Oregon, Illinois, and maybe even northern part of Georgia, those states are going to lean in one direction, while Florida, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, and a lot of the Midwestern states are going to lean in a completely other direction, so much so that the United States cannot stand. Why? A house divided against itself cannot stand. All right, so it's the perfect time for the Israelites to come together, all right, man, and to put some power in your own hands. All right, if you put some power in your own hands, then guess what? If you put the power in your hands, nobody can control you, man. And that's the point we got to get to as a people. All right, we got to get to the point where, hey, listen. We are a different people. We are the righteous people of the earth. The Israelites are the leader of the righteous, and we're going to have to separate ourselves from the unrighteous. And I ain't going to lie, United States Civil War helped you do that because you're going to get away from the unrighteous, the completely unrighteous, and then you just got to deal with some smaller issues. Right? But if the United States can split and we no longer have to deal with trying to trans the kids, all right, we no longer have to deal with seeing something gay in every TV show that come on. We don't have to deal with these things. We can deal with the smaller issues. All right, when these weightier matters are taken care of expeditiously, because that's what needs to happen. You got to take care of these weightier matters quickly. All right, you can't wait to take care of these weightier matters. You got to take care of them quickly, man. Hey, listen, this is From the Desk of the Najee with the Najee Helps. But I'll be back hopefully next week, man. Listen, we're going to let you get a little more of this. We're going to let you get a little more of this Psalms 3 right here. That's the name of the song I just played. We're going to let you get a little more of that before we leave, man. Hey, but everybody, I love y'all, man. All right, everybody, you know, be happy, be nice, man. All praise to the Most High Power. He has done great things for me. All right, we out of here, man. All praise to the Most High Power. We'll see y'all next week.
He gives me everything I need. My God serves every purpose that we could ever need.
Sing a little bit before I leave.
When David and his armies fled.
Hey, if y'all got any questions, man, hey, listen.
God said,
if y'all got any questions y'all want me to answer, man, on my next episode, anything you want me to go over, man, DM me at @TheNajeeMelchizedek on Instagram and @TheNajeed on Twitter, all right? All right, @TheNajeeD on Twitter and @TheNajeeMelchizedek on Instagram, right? DM me. All right, let me know what questions you have. Tweet me, whatever. Hey, and if anybody want to go live with me and do a live Q&A, let me know. I'm going to start doing those at least once every 2 weeks. So if you're interested, let me know. But guess who's in control?
I'm in control.
God in control.
I'm in control.
He control everything, man. So don't worry about all the stuff I told you today. It's all good.
See, some of y'all don't understand the purpose behind
it. It's all good. Y'all understand? Listen.
You do this to hear God.
Look to a prophet out to you.
And if you listening to this song right now, you ought to lose your mind, because I know God has done something for you. You ought to just lose your mind.
You ought to this wonderful truth, man. This wonderful life.
Most praise right now, because if it wasn't for him, none of this would be possible. We want to thank him for everything. We want to thank him for waking us up, starting us on our way.
I'm going to give y'all another Back to Basics exclusive on the next episode, man. Tune in.
Hey,
tune in. Once again, I get 10 DMs. I'm dropping the whole EP.
We're going to leave y'all with the rest of this music right here.
Jesus, better than my enemies. When they tried to knock me down, they tried to ruin my life, y'all. But my Jesus stopped by. Pick me up, turn me around. He steps in right on time. I'm so glad he changed my life. That's why I can testify.
Come on.
I'm so glad he brought me out.
Shalom, y'all, man. Hey. Come back again next week. Let me know what we're talking about.
Touch my feet and touch my soul. I know.
Let me know if I should have kept making this music, man. It was fun at the time.
I'm so glad you brought me out. Pick me up and turn me around. Touch my feet and touch my soul. I know God is in control.
Let me be right there. Listen, this ain't my favorite one either. Hey, man, slow, man. I'm finna get out of here. Hey. All praises to the Most High Power. We are gone.